You're listening to Blossoming Technologist, a podcast for young professionals in tech. I'm your host, Marissa, and today we're joined by Chelsea Elise Cocking, a New York City-based product designer at Dropbox, designing how users view and interact with their files. After studying computational media at Georgia Tech with a minor in computing and business, and completing internships at Goldman Sachs and Apple, Chelsea became a product designer. In this episode, we talk all things design and human-computer interaction. What skills are good for a product designer to have, and what does a day-to-day look like? Chelsea gives lots of advice and resources for any budding designers, and we even discuss the intersection of art and technology. Without further ado, let's get started with my conversation with Chelsea.
My name is Chelsea Elise Cocking. I like using my middle name. I am a product designer. I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. So that's my home, my family, and my heart is over there. I moved from Jamaica when I was younger, when I was 18. That's not really that young. But when I was going to college to go to Georgia Tech to study computational media. And that's kind of how my journey into everything started. I didn't know I was going to do product design. I didn't know user experience design was even a field or that it existed. I just knew that I liked arts and I liked the sciences, and that my dad also wanted me to do something in technology, but I also wanted to do something in arts. And I also didn't just want to go to solely an art school either. I wanted to do both. And that was kind of my means at finding a happy middle and doing both. Thinking I would be an animator or something. I don't know. found UX my sophomore year at Tech.
Yeah, amazing. So you mentioned that you studied computational media. How did these classes lead to you then discovering and eventually pursuing user experience design?
Yeah, I wish I could remember the first instance that I found out about UX design. But I know one impactful class for me was literally a class called User Interface Design. And I believe the teacher was Dr. Melody Moore Jackson. And she has an HCI lab at Tech. HCI is Human Computer Interaction, to clarify that. And yeah, it was just about essentially the ins and out of the fact that basically all the computers and everything that we have in the world was designed not just by people who code. They were designed by designers, architects. Same thing. I actually really wanted to be an architect growing up. So, but they were designed by people who intentionally designed and crafted these tools for us to interact with, tested them, redesigned them, tested them again, and they evolved over time. And yeah, and a big book in that class for me was The Design of Everyday Things by Don Norman. I'm not even a big reader, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I read the book in full. I didn't, but from the tidbits that we got from class and the books that the parts of the book that we had to read for assignments and things like that. It was a very intriguing concept, intriguing thing for me right off the bat. And I love that book, even though I haven't read it in full. So so that's kind of how I got into it and how my interest sparked in it, and then kind of found my ways into it through internships and stuff.
It's so funny you mentioned that, because honestly, we might have been in the same class. I also took that class.
Okay.
And love that book. I actually just looked behind my shoulder to see if I had it here, because I still have it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a good class. And I was people in media threads and love the human computer interaction, learning all that stuff. So that's so cool that kind of triggered some of the going into design. I'm also really curious, because you mentioned at the beginning that your dad wanted you to go into tech, but you also really liked art. When you were growing up, were you always someone who liked doing artistic things?
Yeah, immediately. Right off the first memory I could think of myself was as a kid drawing, specifically drawing this one under the sea scene that I would always redraw. So yeah, I've always loved art, drawing, painting, photography, everything. I did advanced art classes in high school. So I studied Caribbean painting and Caribbean sculpting, and did it myself and things like that. So yeah, I've always loved it. Never wanted to give it up. I had a much more natural affinity towards it than the sciences, but the sciences were always a cool challenge for me. To this day, I still think I suck at math, but for some reason, I put myself through the hell of trying to figure it out. So
you gotta do the challenge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And then I'm sure you work with a lot of different designers and have met a lot of different designers through college and everything. If someone is not currently in some sort of program for design, do you have any advice on how they should look to get into it?
I would say just find, it's going to sound kind of like cliche, but just like find anywhere you can to practice it. There's a whole bunch of resources online for learning it. There's also a whole bunch of like boot camps you can do to learn it as well, like General Assembly or like the Flatiron School, all of these like different boot camps that you can do to like go into design. Like a lot of people who are in UX and UI design didn't come from a traditional degree, like they found their way into it as well. So it is possible. So I would recommend that if you're still in college, I would recommend finding clubs that do it. So finding clubs that make apps, like if you have like an app building club, if you have like a design club, so anything like that. Like I know Tech had like Design Block and like had some like app design clubs that invited everyone, whether it was like you like the coding part of it or you like the design part of it or you liked all of it. Like just find ways to like practice it and do it and like make projects about it. If you just have like a random idea and you're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this existed, try and go through like the process of like either designing it out in Illustrator or Figma or Sketch, or actually coding it yourself and like using like front-end plugins that exist out there to like design it as you code it. So just try it, I would say, is the biggest thing. And then like my bubble is very limited to Tech right now, but like there's a lot of schools as well that also do majors like computational media. And there's a lot of schools that are now offering minors in it, which is also a great thing. So you don't have to like blow your degree up or something. So you can like attach a minor and like figure out if you like this and kind of go into it.
Awesome. So many resources out there. And I know I've seen things where people recommend like, oh, like this app you always use, like just redesign it and see like what you can come up with.
Yeah. Like literally, if you think like a part of an app that you have, it would be way better if it worked like this. Like try it out yourself, see what it takes to actually put that into action and like make that a real thing and see if you like it, because that's really the process of it.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about like UI, UX, but I know we have a lot of different listeners and not everyone might know what that is. Could you explain what UI, UX is?
Yeah, that's such a hard, it's actually like one of the hardest questions I ever get to like answer. What is it that I do for my job? Like I tried to explain to my dad what is it I do for my job and he still doesn't get it. The analogy that I always used to use is, let's say that, for example, you're designing Instagram, right? Instagram, like you usually think that, you know, it's a bunch of like computer scientists who sat down and coded it, and now you have Instagram, which is true. People sat down and coded Instagram, but there's also a bunch of people involved in that Instagram story who designed the screens that you see. So they actually made it not just look good, but actually functional for you to use as a user. So it's the reason why, you know, you can log into Instagram and it's just that easy to upload a photo instead of like having a headache trying to do that process. So you can imagine like walking through a door that you're supposed to push, but you actually pull it instead. A designer would design it so you get off the bat that you just push it and it works, right? So the product designer, the user experience designer, is a person who says, okay, if we want a user to upload a photo, I'm going to design it in a way that when they see it, they just get it and it works. So just like human-centered design, once they see it, they get it and it works. That's what the designer does. The designer will design how the screen looks, how it functions, how a user or a person would flow through the steps that it would take to upload the product. And then the engineer would then take those designs and like implement them and actually write code to make that thing real and function.
Yeah, that's a good like step into it. And so it sounds like there's a lot of different layers to UI UX. Like there's the research component, there's the actual design, there's
there's a whole lot of layers. And I even found out more layers in my current position. Like I think because the company that I'm currently at is such a larger company, it has more resources to put into UX. So like, you know, the main things are like the user experience designer and then like a researcher probably. So there's the actual designers, and the designers could be broken down as well if you want into like visual designers or experience designers. And then you have the researchers, and then you even have UX writing, people who are dedicated to writing the copy and the content that goes into the software itself, so you don't end up with any rude content in like when after you translate to like another language or another culture, what was written in the designs. So you have UX writers, you have brand designers who are responsible for, if you ever see an app that looks very beautiful or has very beautiful illustrations or is fun for you to use, thank a brand designer because they illustrated all of that. And then obviously under that, you have managers of everyone.
Oh my God. How do you even choose? Like, how do you say like, okay, I want to do design. And then like, specifically, I want to do research, or specifically, I want to do product design. Like,
yeah. Great question. I don't think you have to. Like, I don't think we should limit ourselves. This is also off the bat of me watching this new Pixar movie, if you haven't watched it, called Soul. I'm going to spoil it a little bit right now for anyone who doesn't want a spoiler. So, spoiler alert. At the end of the lesson is really that, you know, life isn't about a sole purpose, but it's just about living life to the fullest and enjoying every moment of it. So you don't necessarily have to choose. You can dabble in all of it throughout the course of your career. So I've also done research. I've also done visual design. And I've also done the experience design. So I think like you can dabble in it. And if you want to, you know, take, let's say, you know, this part of my career, I want to focus and solely be a researcher. And then eventually I want to pivot it again and go back to solely product design. Do it. Don't limit yourself. Don't think you have to. Start somewhere, enjoy life, and it will take you somewhere. So.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I feel like that's true of any career, like even in software development. Like, you don't have to be a Python developer for the rest of your life. You can switch over to like front end or app development, whatever. Oh, I love that. And it was a good movie too.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Yeah. But I actually really like that about CS2, is that like you can learn one language and that's like your foundation to understand and just like translate to any other language as well.
Yeah. So design's the same thing. And then I'm wondering, what skills do you think are necessary to be a good designer? What has helped you in your career?
One skill that I personally think is really necessary is having very low ego. Design is, you know, it's kind of like you're doing arts, but you're doing art rather than for self-expression. You're doing it for like a purpose. Whether that purpose is, you know, the person needs to do X and Y, or the person needs to do A, B, C. So I have to design this thing so they can do that, regardless of how I feel. So a big part of your career is taking a whole lot of feedback on the things that you put your heart and energy into designing. And it can be very easy for like a designer to then, you know, take offense to that feedback as like a personal attack to like your skills, or like, oh, they don't like what I designed. Oh, I suck. Or like, oh, you just don't know what you're talking about. I guess you, like, you just can't have those reactions. You have to be like very, very low ego and understand that what you're doing is that you're literally creating something to then put in front of a person to use and scrutinize and say, oh, this part sucks, or like this part could be better, this could be better this way. You know, don't take feedback to heart. Take it with a really low ego and take it as a means to improve what you're designing and building.
So you mentioned all these like people you're interacting with giving you feedback and stuff. What different roles do you interact with on a day-to-day?
Yeah, so every job I've been at so far in full-time product design, I've worked in like a model called the squad model, where you have a designer who's like leading the squad, a product manager who's leading the squad, and then like a team of engineers under that squad, both like back-end and front-end engineers. So that's kind of who, like, as a designer, I'm interacting with day-to-day. They call it like the triad, the EPD triad, working together, I guess, to build a product. So that's who I interact with every day. Other than that, like, you know, my managers or like any other design counterparts I may have on the team, if there's another designer on the team with me. If I'm working with research, I interact with researchers a lot. If I'm working with marketing, you would interact with product marketing a lot as well. Like, do you want to tie your product release to like a marketing release date or like things like that? Also work with product analytics so that we can see how it's actually performing, if it's actually like worth it to keep the feature out there or the product out there, if our customers or people are actually liking it, or if they don't like it or they hate it. Another group you could end up interacting with is customer experience. You know, they get all the customer feedback directly from the customer. I have a lot of sympathy for customer experience. As if like anything is, you know, crappy that involves the product that I'm over, that they're getting like a lot of customer complaints about. So yeah, there's a whole array of people that kind of like surround you in the system, but the main people are like you, your product manager, and your engineers, and then your managers, of course, and then whoever's on your team.
Mm-hmm. with the analytics bit, I'm curious if you could maybe like walk me through if something came back and you found out like this new feature that you put out, like maybe there's a button that you put on a page and no one actually clicks it, and you found with analytics that like it's not being used. What do you do then with that information? How do you then iterate on that and make something that people will use?
Yeah, it truly depends from situation to situation. Let's say, for example, that I'm designing a feature and I'm putting what we would call like the entry point to that feature, like basically where you'd access the feature in a certain place on the screen. Sometimes I would tap analytics and be like, hey, of all these like buttons or entry points that are on this part of the screen that I also think would be good to utilize, like how much usage are those things getting? And if I see that it's like really low usage, meaning people usually can't find it on the screen, which is then a sign that, you know, we have bad navigation. if they're like, oh, you know, people don't usually go here, then I'm like, okay, this isn't a good place to put like a brand new feature if I want people to find it. So I'll probably like re-examine where in our navigation, or like the jargony term for it is like information architecture, would you put that thing? It's like one example, which has happened to me before. Another example, which is like not even considering PA, this was just actually just like we released a feature and people just didn't like it. People went onto the forum that you have for them to give feedback, and they were like, oh, this impacts us like negatively in this way, in this way, in this way. And we decided not to release the feature, basically. So yeah, those are kind of like some ways that you can like keep your eyes on listening, actually listening to what your customers and the people who are using your product are saying.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's just like proof that like even though you put this work out into the world, you have to constantly be checking on it and making sure that the people you built it for actually like it and use it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
yeah.
And then I kind of wanted to understand what does the day-to-day of a product designer look like?
Pre-pandemic, it was me commuting to work and basically getting into the office, like settling in, and then like being around my team members. Like everywhere I've worked, I've always sat around like my team members, where it's like we share like a walkway of desks and it's just like us in that squad, or like we're in the same like pod area, whatever it may be. And then, yeah, it would just be kind of just like figuring out what the hell do I need to do today? Like, what do I need to get done today? If it's like, I'm like doing planning. So I'm like working with my PM to like come up with an idea for like a product or a feature, or like set strategy for what like the team is about to do, or what product are we about to build? Why are we about to do this? Or is it that I'm in like the middle of designing? So like, I just need to spend the whole day with my headphones on and nobody bothering me so I can design and finish this thing. Or is it like a day full of a whole bunch of meetings, whether those meetings are about like the products, or, you know, sometimes I've even helped out in like hiring interviews and stuff like that. So it varies day to day. But the main thing is like meetings surrounded by your team members. Probably you're designing something. Probably you are putting something in some doc, probably you're doing all this bunch of stuff to like just get your work done.
So when you're designing things, what tools do you use? Because I'm familiar with some, but I'm like so curious to find out like what you're actually using, like what software, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the hot one nowadays is Figma. So yeah, that's what I've been using recently. When I just started my internships, it was Sketch. Sketch was like the hot thing then, I guess. As I got into my full-time role, it was also Sketch, but then it slowly started transitioning into Figma. And then we moved all things from Sketch to Figma. And then in all jobs I've been in since then, it's been Figma. So yeah, Figma. I know some people do use Adobe XD. I haven't encountered any like in my workplace, but I know some people who freelance who use Adobe XD as well.
And my company, I know people who use Figma. It's also so funny when you were saying that, like, oh, like back then we used to use Sketch. It's like, it's only like, what, yeah, 3 years ago?
it's been really two, three years, like not even 3 years, honestly. So
it's like technology just moves so fast.
It's ridiculous, to be honest. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So with your UX career, I'm wondering, like, what is one thing that you wish you would have known before you, like, jumped into full-time?
I wish I would have known all the other work that you'd have to do to like navigate your career as well, especially as, you know, as a woman. I'm also a Black woman. I wish I knew all of the nuances that surrounded it. So like, you know, what it means to advocate for yourself, like in the workplace, just being confident in myself and my skills, like not feeling like just because I'm the junior or the young person or the new person in the career that I have to feel not confident in my ability or like compare myself to people around me and then, you know, like basically like self-bash myself in a way.
And I'm wondering, like, how do you help yourself gain that confidence? How have you learned to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to curse. I've just learned to not take people's SHIT. Like, I've just learned to not take their crap, honestly, and just not be arrogant, but just be confident in myself and my skills and, like, kind of have the radar to know when someone is just being kind of disgusting versus, like, it's actually, like, a real comment on me or my ability or my skill. So like knowing when to stand up for yourself, and if standing up for yourself means leaving said place that you are at, leave. Take your career into your own hands. Don't wait for someone to hand something to you. Like if you feel like you're not being treated well, do the work. And it is a lot of work to leave, a whole lot of work to find another job, but do the work that you need to do to get out and to get into a better place that's better for you.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. It's so true. And I've had so many people or like friends that I know who are in similar situations or don't feel compensated, don't feel welcome. And it's so much of just like finding the right people to talk to and believe in you and then you believing in yourself.
Yeah, I know that's also like a really big thing that I wish I knew is like, honestly, most of your job is about the people that you're doing it with. Like, it's about, do you feel like the people you're around and surrounded by are good people or not even just good people, but align with you and like what you want out of your career, what you want out of like a workplace, how you want to be treated in a workplace. Is that place the right place for you? Like, that's a big thing. Like the people in your life, the people in your workplace, like, do you feel like these are people that align with you? It's kind of like an instinct. Once you start seeing the people who align with you and where you want to go, like leave or like move on, that's kind of also like a signal. Like, wait a minute, like what's happening? Like what kind of, like what change is happening? Like, why is this happening? And maybe that's also a sign for you. Or like if you're at like a place and like, you know, it's just honestly, it's really just intuition. Like the vibe is off. You're not really feeling like you're being treated well. All of that matters just as much as like any amount of like money you make or project that you're on. It's like the environment that you're in and the people that you're around and how do they like think about you? Do they care about you? And do they support your career? Because that's like a big thing going through your career anywhere in tech or even if you're just a student, anything like that, a big factor that you need to like take stock of and realize is how the people around you have played into the opportunities that you get and how your career, you know, moves on. And basically the things that you get the chance to do is really dependent on the people you surround yourself with.
Oh, yes. All that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
A lot of lessons.
Yeah. And I wish this was something they taught in college. Like, it's so important to, like, really find the value in yourself and your abilities and understand how important the people you work with are rather than just the money. Like what you said, like the money is not always the most important because once you reach a certain amount, like it really isn't as important as you think at the beginning.
Yeah. And like to me, it's not. If money is your thing, go at it. I'm not shaming you. Go at it. Do your thing. But yeah, I really put a lot of stock in like the environments that I'm in and like who am I surrounded by. And I think I learned a lot of lessons kind of like being in environments that were not the best for me working wise and then getting to one that was better for me and realizing how much that affects you and just like your mentality day to day. Honestly, like, do you feel good going into work? Like, I also learned that like I could love the job that I do, but I could hate the place that I'm doing the job at and it would make my job just as sucky and I wouldn't want to do my job. You know what I mean? So like, are you in the right place to like wake up and be like, I actually want to do my job today. I actually want to go in and do my work today. I feel happy doing this. Like, that is way more important than anything else for me personally.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Okay. We're going to go back a little bit to UI UX. So are there any like resources or places that you learned UI UX that you would recommend to other people, whether it's books, YouTube channels, podcasts, et cetera?
The main book was Design of Everyday Things. Honestly, to be really truthful, I just learned it on the job. I learned it through internships. I had 3 internships in UX. So I learned it on the job in internships. And that was kind of my way to learn it. Like, I didn't really take on any side projects or anything like that. So like, I did it mostly through internships and through learning in class. So that's kind of how I did it. Resources online. I'm going to put a plug in here because I think this is one part of working at Dropbox that I do really love is the Dropbox design community. So Dropbox.design, there's a lot of free events on there, a lot of free talks on there with people who are in industry today doing a lot of free speaking. The last one that they had last year was with a head in Twitter. I believe he was the head of design, but it's a free speaking event. Anyone can log in from anywhere. Pre-COVID, these things were in person, so you could actually go and meet other people in the industry and like mingle and like actually meet people who are doing the thing that you want to do. So that was really cool too. So, and there's a bunch of companies who do things like that. So not just Dropbox, but like I remember when I was interning, Twitter had great events for interns. A lot of companies across the board have great university events for college students. So I would definitely recommend looking at whatever company you're interested in, seeing if they host any free events. Don't be afraid to sign up. It is open to everybody. Sign up, go in there, network, ask questions, find your way in there.
Yeah. And there's also like meetup.com is also really good for meetups. I think there's actually, if I remember correctly, there's a female UX group in New York City that meets up. I think it's like Females Who UX or something like that.
There's honestly so many groups online who meet up together. There's probably like a bunch of like, you know, female something, like UX something, this and that something, let's meet up together or whatever. Like, there's so many of them out there. So you can definitely find them.
It's like, that's something I never knew in college. I think at the very end of college, I started looking into like meetups and I was like, oh my, because we were both in Atlanta and I was like, oh my gosh, like there's all these meetups happening that are free all the time. And you can just like learn to code or learn how to do design or just like chat with people. It's amazing what's out there.
It's crazy. I remember when I was on the job search, I was like looking for meetups to go to. And like, there's a organization called, it's called AIGA. That's the acronym. I can't remember exactly what the acronym stands for at the moment, but it's something like Association of Design or something like that. And they were having like a meetup with like a company, like a studio who concentrated in like product design. And I actually almost got a job through that. So like just from going there and like meeting people and saying hi to people and just being really open. Even though I didn't like end up being employed at that place, like I met like a great person who is, and like I've been following his design career and like what he's been doing next. So it's a really great place to meet people.
Okay. I have one question and then we'll go into some more fun questions. So do you have any advice for aspiring UI UXers? I guess things that we haven't talked about yet.
Just do it. Don't overthink it. Find any way you can to just like get involved in doing it, whether it's a side project or find whatever way to do it. There is no right answer. The only right answer is to just start doing it and like building up your skills and expertise over time. And yeah, and just like be confident in yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Like, you know, a journey is not, life is not smooth. It has highs and lows for a reason. So yeah, with all the highs will come the lows. So just don't be hard on yourself and keep doing it if you love it.
Yeah, all great advice. I love it. Okay, so we're going to start wrapping up. I have some fun questions. And actually, I had someone on the podcast a couple weeks ago who is from New York City too. And so I have to ask you the same question. What is your favorite subway line?
You. I don't think any of them are my favorite. Okay, I don't even use this line. If I was to use the line that I would rely on, you know, day to day pre-pandemic, it would be the 2-3 line. So by default, because that is literally how I have to live my life, I would say the 2-3 line. But the line that has like one of the best trains is the E line, which starts at the World Trade Center and like goes up Manhattan. They have like the nice roomy train. It's brand new. It's nice and clean compared to other trains. So
you're so right. I never thought about it, but every time I've been on the E train, it's been a great experience.
Yeah, it's spacious. Like the train line itself is huge. I think it's one of the newer train lines. So they made it spacious so you can have a big train on it. And it's the brand new one, and it has like pretty illustrations on it. And it's always usually not crowded.
Post-pandemic, you can find Chelsea on the E-train.
You probably won't, actually, because I have no use for it. But it's one of the nicer trains.
Okay. I know you love to travel. So I wanted to ask, what's your favorite place to travel?
Back home to Jamaica. But yeah, no, I do like to travel. Of all the places I've been, other than home, I really liked Barcelona. And actually, at the beginning of 2020, before I knew the pandemic was a thing, and before most of us in the United States knew it was a thing, I traveled to France, to Nice and Monaco, and it was beautiful and it was amazing. So I also recommend the south of France. Not during the pandemic, obviously, but I do recommend.
I loved Monaco. I went there when I studied abroad in Barcelona, and actually usually I use a Zoom background that's literally Monaco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is one skill that you're currently working on?
So when I was at Tech, I did like pick up like the interest in like coding for art. So not for any purpose except really to create art that I like. And last year I took a class virtually online at the School for Poetic Computation, which is a school here in New York. It's like an independent artist run school. That was kind of like a rekindling that hobby and like getting back into the swing of things with that. Yeah, that's something I like doing, coding with art. I also told my friend back home before I left Jamaica that I wanted to pick up the guitar. We'll see if that happens. I don't know. But I've actually always really been interested in music since I was like really young, but never really had the patience for it. But now I love music. I love listening to it. Like I love making playlists. So like I want to actually just like see if I can learn an instrument. So he's a musician. I told him he needs to teach me, but we'll see if like I actually take it seriously and go buy a guitar.
Well, now you have to, because all your friends are going to listen to this and they're going to hold you accountable.
They are, but then I'm still going to be Chelsea and I'm going to be like, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
I have to ask about the coding for art. What is that? How does that work?
Yeah, how does that work is a big question. So there's softwares that you can, or like library plugins that you could do that are kind of like made for it. So like processing, I don't know if you ever use processing, yeah. But that's one. It's Java based. So you can basically make a graphics through processing and use different like algorithms and functions to basically make art, like generative art is what you would call it, generative art or new media art are kind of the terms. And then there's also a C++ library called Open Frameworks that you can use with Xcode. And it's also kind of just like another version of what processing could do that you can use to make things, basically. If you Google like generative art or new media art, you might see some like cool examples of like what you could do.
I totally forgot about processing. I took a graphics class at Georgia Tech and I was like, oh man, like,
Yeah, because you said you were the media third, right? So my thirds were media on the CS side and then interaction design on the liberal arts side. So yeah, but I also like went through computer graphics and computer animation and all of that.
I feel like our paths must have crisscrossed somewhere because we were at Tech probably. At the same time. We probably had a class together.
Probably, and just didn't notice, but yeah.
Yeah. What is something you're excited about this year?
One thing I'm looking forward to is hopefully like us getting back to not life. This is going to sound really pessimistic, but I don't think there will really be a life without COVID anytime soon. But knowing how to handle it better and better adjust our life to living with it in a way that still makes us like happy and like feel like a community and, you know, like come back together. Like the US is in a certain place right now. So I really hope things can like, in some way in society, take a shift. and people can come back together and recover from the pandemic. I think that's one. Personally, I'm just looking forward to, like, honestly, just growing in my design career. Like, I'm on a new team this year. So I'm really excited to start working with that team and, like, excited for the products that we have to build and, like, the ideas that we have and kind of, like, the place that we're in.
Yeah, those are all exciting things. I'm excited yeah. for you.
Thanks.
Final question. What is your favorite piece of advice that someone has given you?
My dad, his advice to me was just always just, you know, just do your best, basically. So, like, you know, if I felt like I effed up at something or I failed at something, like, I'm very hard on myself personally. And then, like, I'm very obviously, like, hard on myself when I go to, like, family or whatever to, like, tell them about it for reflecting on, like, a young Chelsea. So he would always just say, you know, just do your best, basically. So, like, you know, even if you, like, failed, the premise is, like, you know, did you try your best? Did you leave it all out there? Did you try your best? That's really the goal. Another thing that my friend says, the quote that he would say is that if you want nothing to happen, then do nothing, be nothing, and say nothing. So basically, like, let's say for this podcast, for example, if I was, you know, nervous going into this, and I was, like, spiraling and getting into, like, the, oh my God, I don't want to do this, maybe I should cancel, blah, 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 blah. Then it's like, well, Chelsea, if you want nothing to happen, then do nothing and be nothing and say nothing. So, like, the only way to get things to happen is to put yourself out there and to do it and to face the fear and to go after it. And whatever happens, the point is that you're progressing and you're moving forward. Maybe some people would have bad things to say. Oh, well, the point is, are you doing what you think you should be doing in the best way you should be doing it? So do it and face the fear.
Wow. Well, I am so glad you put yourself out there to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. That's it for this episode. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
I absolutely love talking with Chelsea and hearing about her work as a product designer and how art and creativity are a part of her every day. Design is a field with so many opportunities and possibilities. So if you'd like to connect with Chelsea, make sure to reach out via LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, which are all linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.